You know, as I think about joy, and I didn't ask Lisa to ask me that, but as I think about joy, more and more I'm convinced that God wants us to enjoy life. You know, it's not just to be endured and lived out, it's to be enjoyed and experienced and lived to the full. And I haven't always believed that in the way I've lived, but more and more that's the way I'm shooting for. Tonight I want to look at this whole aspect of staying healthy, of developing strategies in our life that actually enable us to live in a way where we can enjoy life. You see, sometimes we can't create enjoyable situations. We can't make them enjoyable. But more and more we can create space where they can happen. I think that's one of the major things that I'm finding about life, is that I've got to be intentional about creating space where joy can happen and where life can happen. So I think it's pretty important for you to know how do you stay healthy? At least ask the questions. What takes you down? What takes you into places where you're not healthy? I find it's important for me to ask that, having been through some interesting stages in my life. Staying healthy is not selfish. Developing a self-care strategy for your life is not selfish. In one sense, it is. But in another sense, it's for the benefit of everyone else. See, if I, as a husband and a father, am not healthy, then they feel the not the good side of that. So the people that are closest to me hurt when I hurt. Staying healthy is actually very important for the kingdom. So a self-care strategy, staying healthy, is not just a selfish thing. It's not something that just makes me feel better and gives me a good time. It's something that enables me to have the resources to love people well. It enables me to have the resources to actually think about other people. It enables me to have the resources to reach out to other people. In other words, it's about kingdom. Other people don't define what you do and who you are, but sometimes we let them. Sometimes we let them. Now tonight, I want you to do a little bit of work. Is that all right? Okay, is that all right? Give me at least a thing. Can you just hand these out? You get a sheet there, and on one side you've got this. Raima's handing out the pencils, the lovely Raima. She's another joy in my life. She's very good at quiz shows and things like this. Yeah. When you get that, you've got the two sides. One has got the sort of a table on it. Now, what I want you to do, if you've got a pencil and you don't need to grab one, if you haven't, then grab one as Raima comes around. What I want you to do is to just use this as a bit of a checklist. Okay? Just a bit of a checklist. We've got forms. How are we going with the forms? Come on, Lisa, get them out. Delegate. Get some others involved. Come on. You see, one of the big things for me that I've learned about staying healthy is I'm not aware of some things. So hopefully tonight there might be some things that go off in your head that say, "Wow, I've never even thought about this." Okay? Can we just have the lights up a little bit, Pete? For these guys. Can you guys see? You all right? Some of the over. Okay, just give them a bit of light. Okay, so you're on the table side. What I want you to do, the table side. Okay, everyone got that? That's this side. Someone's wondering what on earth they're doing with the other side. That side there. Okay, what I want you to do is just spend 2-3 minutes and go down that and just put a tick in the column that is for you. One means I've never thought about it. Two means I've thought about it but done nothing yet. Three means I've started but I'm not satisfied. Four means I'm functioning adequately. And five means it's in place and going well. If you have no idea what it talks about, then just pass. Move to the next one. We got another 20 seconds. It's not a race, not a rush, but when you have finished, just go look through it again and just put an asterisk next to one or two of them that might have just rung some bells in your head. In other words, two that might have thought, you might have thought, well, I've got to do something in this area. You just put an asterisk next to one or two of those ones that you think, I might need to do something in this area. Okay, now you're sitting next to someone, most of you are anyway, just if you are, just the person next to you, just one, if you're in the three, then obviously you can share three, but just one of those areas that you think, gee, I need to actually do something about this, just share what it was. Just chat about it just in the pairs or threes that you're in there. Okay, so from what you've done there, that may have given you some sort of an awareness of some areas that you have sort of thought about and think, yep, I've got to actually do something in there. But even if you're here this morning, John sort of introduced the morning by asking about things that we'd started or thought about but not completed. And there's always good ideas. You know, it's a good idea to get physically fit, or it's a good idea to actually do this, or it's a good idea. And what I want to say tonight is that all of these things will remain good ideas unless they actually become a part of your life. And that happens by either writing things down in your diary or by actually getting other people involved in helping you in areas like that. I find with myself, I know certain areas that I want to move forward in, but I can be pretty slippery. And so unless someone actually holds me to account on it, for some reason I just don't get it done. And we'll talk a bit about that. You know, we're not just talking here about one area of life, like a spiritual area of life, or just the emotional area. But we are talking about a whole of life thing here. All right, it's physical, social, mental, emotional, spiritual, it's all there. And so there's just different areas that we want to just keep in touch with in our own lives. I find, I don't know if you've ever been driving your car or driving along and a red light suddenly comes up on the dashboard. And when that happens, who's ever had that happen? Okay. When that happens, normally you don't cheer and say, yes, a red light. But there is some things you can do. You could do that. Or you could say, wow, red light, that's a bit bright. Smash. Don't like that red light. Or you could say, wow, red light, I'll just put my hand over that and keep driving. Or you could do what? Have a heart attack, someone said. Investigate, all right? Because what's the red light saying? Something is wrong. Somewhere something is wrong. It might just be it's a faulty globe or a faulty connection at that little light there. But it normally says, I've got to investigate and see what's going on back here. Now in our lives at certain points, the red lights will start flashing in some areas. And often what happens in life today is people don't actually observe, they observe the red light, but they don't notice it and they don't investigate it. And they keep rolling on through life. Until suddenly the engine seizes, or whatever the red light is indicating. So I guess what I'm saying tonight is, some of these things you might think, man, I'm not even in that stage. I'm only 20, I'm only 18, life is just easy for me. I'm just rolling on through. But as I said before, to actually build in a self-care strategy into your life works at any age. When you're younger, your parents set a lot of that stuff in place. You're not allowed to just eat chocolate your whole life. You've got to have something that looks green. All right? But as you get older, you make a lot of choices of your own. And you've got to put some things in place that keep you healthy. Why? Your benefit, but also the benefit of everyone else in your world. For the kingdom. Okay? So, several things, and if you just keep flicking from that side, but across the other side, I've just put some notes on there. You can follow through those, and I'll add to those as we go. But that's just for you to refer back to. Two things that I believe are very important. One is this whole aspect of rest. Now, last week, Darren spoke about the whole aspect of being still and knowing that I am God, and he looked at certain areas there. And this series is all about pausing and pondering. But rest is not a passive thing. It's not just sleeping. Sleep is very important, by the way. But rest is an active thing. It's actually an intentional thing. And I've just put down some headings there. Renewal. It involves renewal. In other words, you've got to ask yourself, what gives to me? And by that, I mean, what actually enriches you? What enriches you in your life? What gives to you? In that, you consider your schedule. For me, having a night off or days off refreshes me. It actually gives to me. It's an important thing. Holidays. I love holidays. And I try more and more now not to actually go on a holiday and think, right, I've got to make this holiday count. I've got to use every minute. I've got to make it count. More and more I'm realizing now holidays are for relaxing. I allow them to give to me. So I schedule them in. Some of you might be thinking, holidays, right, that's all I'm doing. It's okay, you might need to schedule some in. Your hours that you're actually involved. Now, once again, for some of you, you might think, gee, I haven't got a lot of hours. I've only got 4 hours a week at uni and that's it. I don't need to reduce my work hours. But some of you may need to. You may need to look at, okay, where am I spending my time? And look at your allocation of time. What aspect of your time actually gives to you, renews you? I find if I'm with draining people all the time, it just obviously drains me. There's certain people that will drain me a lot. And so I've got certain people in my life who I can't say to them, right, renew me, come on, give to me. But I know being with them, it provides the opportunity for there to be renewal in me. It actually gives to me. Do you understand what I'm saying there? I can't make it happen, but I can provide the opportunity. And I know a lot of you spend time with people that give to you. You have a great time together. Got to have time with people that actually give to us, renew us. Renewal is so important. So in terms of the red lights, you've got to know, how am I going in this area? Am I drained? Ask yourself, what drains you? And if your week is full of that, you're in trouble. Okay, so you've got to put some things in place to make sure if you've got a lot of draining things in your life, what actually gives to you? Put those in place. Second area there is recreation. Now, recreation is not just playing games, but it's what do I love to do? What do I love to do? Because a lot of people, and once again, it might not be your situation, but a number of people, particularly in my era, have grown up saying, I've got to do this, 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 and this. And they've always got things they've got to do, but they don't often do things they love to do. And so ask yourself the question, what do I love to do? You know, I'm more and more. I've got heaps of things that I love to do. Playing tennis over here on a Saturday afternoon, I love. Social tennis, it's with people I don't normally mix with. It's on grass. It's just fantastic. It gives to me. I love it. I mentioned before my dog. I shouldn't say my dog, that's my wife. But when I went, oh! This is Raymond, not Roscoe. But my wife gives to me. She is the stabilizing influence in my life and in many ways. But just having a stupid old dog that you can take for a walk. You know, I walk out in the morning, sit down, and my dog looks at me as though to say, okay, what's he dressed like this morning? Is he in walking gear? If he is, he gets really excited. And sometimes he'll sit down next to me as I'm putting my shoes on or whatever, and he looks up at me and goes, oh, like we're going for a walk. I can smell what he's saying. And I just laugh. I just laugh. I love this thing, this dog. I find just walking is healthy for me as well. I mean, it's healthy anyway, but for me, it actually gives to me. It's a good thing for me. And once again, you might think, I hate walking, it's boring, you know. But what happens when I walk is I notice things. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was talking about bird watching, as in the feathered variety. And I said, the good thing about when you go walking is you notice birds, feathers variety. Okay. You notice them and you don't just say, oh, there's a bird. You say, oh, that's a mudlark, or there's a magpie, or there's a wattler, or there's a crow, or whatever. You see, we're created to walk. We're not just created to fly around at whatever speed we go when things flash past us. We're created to walk and to notice things. So when I walk, I actually slow down. And I love it. I don't have to run. There's certain things on TV, things like Mr. Bean or whatever, there's some things that may... You just love to watch them. It's okay to do that, as long as you don't do it for 25, 30 hours a week. All right, you got to work out things in your own life that you love to do and make sure they're a part of your schedule. It's good to laugh. You know, the proverb says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. And it's not just good medicine for you, it's good medicine for the rest that you're in contact with. As I said, this afternoon, just having lunch together, there was a lot of laughter and you feel like this is how it's supposed to be. Gives you a little glimpse of, yeah, this is what life's about. It's about enjoying relationship together. and just enjoying a laugh. Once again, you can't create. You can't make yourself laugh. You can't say, right, I'm now going to go and sit down, I'm going to laugh. You can try, but you can create a space and you can create the situations where you think, I may laugh. This could be full of joy here. And sometimes what's even better is when it surprises you. And you find there's a whole pile of joy there and you didn't expect it. That's what really gives you. It's really recreational. I mean, for us, we're pretty fortunate. We've got friends that have got, well, in-laws have got farms and friends that have got beach houses and places like that. And I find that is absolute paradise for me. Maybe it's because I'm getting older, but just to spend a week in the wheat belt on a farm where there's just you and thousands of acres, it's just very, very good for me. Now, all of the things I've given as examples, you might say, well, that sounds boring to me. What gives to you? What is recreation for you? What do you love to do? And are they in place in your life? Have you created space for there to be things like that in your life? If you're married, another area is marriage building. In terms of your self-care strategy, we've been married, how long have we been married now? 28 years. Raymond's so excited about it, right? 28 years. Doesn't matter how long you've been married, if you're married, we've got to be working at marriage. Not in terms of, oh, I've got to work at this marriage. But we've got to actually build our marriage. We've got to work hard at that. You know, I do a survey with people who are getting married, a pre-marriage sort of, it's called prepare. And one of the statements there is about romantic love. Will the romantic love fade in a marriage? And most of the couples before they get married say, no way, strongly disagree. And you think, it does, unless you work at it. You've got to work hard to maintain that because you can get into a sameness. If you're married and you want some stuff on that, I've got a good marriage building sheet that you can work through on that. But the whole area of how you function as a person is another area. Because as you look at the person next to you. You are different. Just in case you didn't know, you are different. And you will function different. The things that stress you out won't stress the person next to you. The things that will give you joy won't necessarily give joy to the person next to you. The areas that you struggle in are not necessarily the ones that they struggle in. Okay? The downsides of your life are not necessarily the downsides of their life. We've all been raised differently. We've all got different strengths and weaknesses. So looking at your own life, it's good to say, okay, what are areas that I need to actually adapt the way I function in? For example, boundaries. Setting boundaries in place. Some people just really struggle to set boundaries in place. They allow other people to constantly set their boundaries. And so they're always either saying yes or they're just going along with the crowd. And then they're saying, but I haven't got time to do anything. So maybe setting boundaries in an area, you've got to look at it and say, I need to make some decisions there. Maybe another area is busyness. You find you're always busy. There's many reasons why we're busy. It might be because there's just too much on our plate. It might be because we've allowed our lack of boundaries to say yes to so many things, we've just got no room. Many reasons. Or on the other side of the coin, it may be laziness is the problem for you. And part of the reason you feel so busy is because you're lazy and you've never put things in place to organise your life. And so everything just seems to be out of control all the time. And so therefore laziness will stop me being organised. Okay, so what I'm saying is, what are the red lights that may be going on here? We've got to know some of these things, otherwise our life will be controlled by someone else or will be chaotic. Okay? Self-discipline might be something you'll need to actually take into consideration in your life. This whole aspect of low self-worth, you know, in terms of how people function. I've been in situations often, especially growing up as a teenager, where my self-worth was very low. And so therefore, when you're low self-worth, you've got a lack of confidence as well. And therefore, to be a part of the group, you'll do a lot of things. And therefore you make some bad choices to just be a part of a group, just to think that someone likes you. that can be disastrous. So it may be in terms of your self-care strategy, you might think, maybe that's an area I need to look at. And you might be saying, now, Strike, I've got 100 things here I'm looking at. Relax, all right? I grew up when I was in latter primary school and early teenage years. I grew up believing the voice in my head that says, it all depends on you. It all depends on you. I played a fair bit of sport as a young bloke growing up in the country. And I used to think that if I play well, we win. If I don't play well, we lose. And that sort of stemmed the thing for me moving a fair way into ministry as well, that it all depends on me. If I don't come through here, we're sunk. That's a lie. Or it's dumb. It might have been a reality in some situations. But if I'm the funnel through what all this goes through, I'm going to clog the system up. And I'm going to die, which I nearly did in terms of stressed out and burnt out. So there can be some voices that are going on through your head, and it might be like that. It all depends on me. Be careful. Even there's another one that I've had, words that have gone through my head a lot in my growing up years was, be careful. I'm going to the Philippines, Dad. Oh, be careful. Going fishing, be careful. But it seems that, it keeps you safe type thing, but it doesn't release you. And so you grow up with voices that are ringing. You might have not even thought about some of the voices, but if you ask yourself the question, what voices control the way I live? What voices are going through my head that actually hinder me enjoying life and helping others to enjoy life? You see, having a lack of self-worth, for example, it didn't just impact me, it impacted everyone around me. Because I assumed that no one else wanted me around. So I didn't move towards people because I was thinking, who wants me around? So it doesn't just impact me, it impacts everyone else in the community I'm in. That's what I'm saying. Self-care strategy is so important. Now, you can't just suddenly change that, but at least you can acknowledge that is an issue in my life. And I want to get some help on this. I don't want to be controlled by that. I want to move forward in this. That makes sense? Okay, so this whole aspect of how you function. You need to read yourself. You need to know how you're going. You need to notice when the warning lights are on, because they don't come on as a flashing red light in your life. They're not always that obvious. You need to know them. Intentional time with the Lord is another area that is important in terms of self-care strategy. I was just reading one of my favourite passages in Mark 6. Better bring a Bible verse in tonight, just so you know. Mark 6. It's just after Jesus sent the 12 out on ministry, and they come back. In verse 30 of Mark 6, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. So they come back and had their debrief. Okay, they're talking. Then, verse 31, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come with me to a quiet place by yourselves and get some rest. They didn't even have time to eat. Does that sound familiar? Sometimes we think, we haven't got time to eat here. Now we're racing from work to there, to ministry to there. Have we had tea? And Jesus says to the disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place, get some rest. That's this word rest here. Doesn't mean just have a sleep. That could be a part of it, and it is a very important part of it. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Now, the two aspects here is alone, but also with a group. Okay? You might think that here we focus a lot on spending time alone with God. We do. Because it's essential to your life. And it's essential to everyone in your world. You see, having time alone with God, whatever it looks like for you, but it normally will involve scripture and prayer and meditation and thinking, reflecting, pause and ponder. Having time alone with God means I get to a point where I remind myself, or God reminds me, that He's God and I'm not God. He's the one that's doing the work. I'm not necessarily the one it all depends on. He is. He's the one that gives me, as we sang earlier, daily bread. Okay, you see, once again, reading the Bible is not just something I'm supposed to do so that I survive the day. It's not something I do because I'm told I'm supposed to do it. Now, you don't eat because you're told you're supposed to eat. You eat because you need to eat. You're hungry. Now, we don't always thirst and hunger for this. It's just the reality of the world we're in. We do, but we don't actually feel like we're doing that. Because Satan will say, don't go anywhere near that. That's boring. But I find, even as we've talked about a lot, about the journals, the live streamers, Bible plan, etc. One of the key values of that is the meditating. The sitting and allowing the word just to drift through me. So it's not a matter of reading, yep, got that, let's go into the day. It's a matter of reading and reflecting on it, pausing and pondering. You know, we do push this a lot because it saves us so often. It changes our perspective on life. It enables us to experience some joy instead of feeling like I'm a dead dog all the time. Okay? Very important. Come alone. Come along. Come aside by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest with Jesus. And then in groups. You know, if you're a part of a group of some type, that's a valuable thing to do with the Word, just to encourage one another. Important self-care strategy. I find so often, even being in church, it can be a big group or a small group. Both is good. Both is important. But Satan will do anything he can to stop you getting to a group where something's going to happen. He'll make you feel like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. Okay? Fight through that. These are not just good ideas. You know, a lot of these are penciled in your diary. They're in your diary. A lot of you playing, yep, church is on my agenda. Small group is on my agenda. Time with God on my agenda. But what about some of the other things? Are they just naturally happening in your life? Now, you might look at your life and think, actually, it's pretty good. I've got things spaced out. I'm okay in that area. But there may be two things or one thing that comes to your mind. And you think, that's an area I need to move in. And once again, you're moving into that area. You're moving forward in that area for your benefit, but also for the benefit of the people around you and for the extension of God's kingdom. So I'll tell you what, if I'm feeling stressed and worn out and emotionally wrung out, I'm not thinking about sharing the gospel with too many people. I'm often not even thinking about trying to encourage someone else. I'm too worried about how I feel. Okay, so it's for the benefit of everyone. So I just encourage you, put some times and dates in your diary. Just jot down the bottom of that, or somewhere on your sheet. One area that I believe I need to move forward in is, from what we just talked about, one area that I believe I need to move forward in is, and then complete that sentence, that's what I mean, don't just write that. Okay, the second aspect of self-care strategy is relationships. Now, if you're here this morning, once again, John, and I didn't necessarily plan this, but it fits in exactly with what John was talking about this morning, about the people we need in our life. Okay? We need people in our life. As I said, I'm pretty slippery. I try and get away from things. I need people who will say, wait a minute, David, what, you said this. What have you put in place there? I need people who will actually minister into my life. And in the areas of relationship, the two main things is support and accountability. Support and accountability are the two areas that I believe are pretty important. Now, this morning, if you're here, John spoke a lot more about inspiring you, and I can't remember all the points, but there was four or five points there. But support and accountability are particularly important in terms of self-care. In other words, who's going to stop you from crashing? Not your car, but you. Who's going to ask you questions that will cause you to think, my life's out of control? Who loves you enough to go into areas in your life that are a bit scary to go into and say, you're out of line. Your life is out of control. Who knows you well enough to do that? Or who have you given opportunity to do that? Who have you given access to your life to do that? So important to have people. Who do you talk to when you're struggling? Who's in place in your life to talk to when you're really struggling? Who do you go to when you've got questions about how life works and how come this is going on in my life? You see, we need people. We need people. Who points out the blind spots in your life? And they're blind spots because we don't see them. You know, I won't go into too many stories about me, but I've got blind spots. And I need Rhema, and I need Brett, and I need my kids to tell me, Dad, this is what's happening. You're out of line. Now, they've started to do that. Now, I didn't jump for joy when they started doing it. I got a bit annoyed, but luckily, one of my very close friends was staying with us, and he is a person who's done a lot of work with me in mentoring. And I said to him, mate, did you think I was aggressive then? He goes, and he didn't say yes, but he did say, I wondered what would happen if I did that in my house. In other words, yeah, you were aggressive. I just thought I was being clear. I didn't think I was aggressive, I was just being firm, you know. But it came across, and I thought, I didn't think I was doing that, it was a blind spot. So now I notice it, but sometimes I still do it. And Raymond's just got to look at me and say, don't be so aggressive. That's an area I'm aware of. That's a great thing to be aware of. At least that's first base. Then you move, say, right, where do I go with that? I need people in my life. You see, everything about Scripture is about team. It's about working together. Satan wants to keep you isolated. He wants to keep you isolated because keeping you isolated will keep you from doing anything eternally beneficial. He wants to keep you isolated so that you don't enjoy life. And he'll do it in a variety of ways. By us making assumptions, by lying to us and deceiving us. You're a useless father. That's what he tells me all the time. And I've had to say, no, I'm not. The way I just responded there was not good. I'm not a useless father. That's a lie. Okay, we've got to call the lies. Don't believe the lies. So Satan will keep you isolated. You see, we need other people in our life, not just to hold up the blind spots which are not flashed, but to encourage us. You see, if all Rhema did to me was say, too aggressive, I was like, oh, give me a break. Do I do anything right? Do I do anything well? We need people in our lives who love us enough to say, you know, what you just did then, that was fantastic. That was great. We need that. I do anyway. So what do we need? Well, I believe we need, let's go through them, a mentor or a coach or someone that actually is, in one sense, above you. Now, these are not easy to find. But someone who actually you've given permission to actually speak into your life. Not necessarily to tell you what to do and to point out all your bad faults, but just someone that has got some sense of maturity and understanding and will listen and give you some insights as to move forward. Okay? So you need someone like that. You need a group of people. And many of you are in groups. If you're in a group of friends, and it's a close group of friends, please love each other well enough by encouraging each other, but also by holding the mirror up and saying, oh, this is what I just saw. It wasn't real flash. Or are you aware that this is how that came across? Okay? So you need a group of friends. So you need someone that's, if you like, a mentor or a coach feeding into you. The purpose of that person is for your benefit. Nothing for that person. It's just all for you. You need a group. And you need a peer or a spouse. If you're married, it's probably your spouse. You need to be in a growing good relationship with your spouse so that when they do say, don't be so aggressive. I'm not thinking, oh, strike, aren't I good enough now? I'm listening to those voices. So you need someone who's close to you, who's not a mentor above you, but is a spouse or a confidant or a peer who's going to speak into your life. Encouragement and hold up the mirror. And you also need people or a person that you're actually giving to. Who are you pouring into intentionally in this? The water's got to run out. Otherwise it becomes stagnant. What's going into you needs to come out. Now, it will come out in different places, but who are the people, even as John shared this morning, who are the people that you're actually giving to intentionally? Who are the ones that you're looking at and saying, I want to give to you? Now, it might be just occasional. It might be an intentional thing. It might be something you've never thought about. Once again, the purpose of all this is to stay healthy so that you can enjoy life to the full. You see, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan, that's all he wants to do. Steal your life, steal your joy, steal your relationships, steal everything that's good, destroy it. But Jesus said, I've come that you might live life to the full, life abundantly. Okay? And we can make choices on a regular basis that means we believe Satan or we believe Jesus. And we go that way or we go this way. I make choices every day, rightly and wrongly. I cooperate sometimes with Satan, make a hash of stuff. I cooperate with Jesus, and things seem to actually feel a little better at that point. Not always. I haven't got this together, all right? I'm coming from an area where I've struggled in the past, and I'm seeking to put some things in place on an ongoing basis. But the purpose is so that you can live life to the full and so that you can have energy. You see, we've got to build in energy, margin into our life so we're not operating at 100%. We've got to have a buffer because when a crisis comes, you've got no margin. We've got to have margin in our life so that we can have energy for your benefit and for the benefit of the people in your world so the kingdom of God can flow out of you. This is not just a good idea. I was talking to Darren. I wish he was here tonight. He said he couldn't be here because Mel was leading and he's home with the kids. But he said to me on Friday when I was chatting about this, he said, you know, self-care saved my life. I said, what? He said, putting these things in place have saved my life. He didn't say that so that I could use it as an illustration. He said it because it's true. You see, Darren's a person who's juggling a lot. Well, he's a husband, but two little kids. He's working part-time in the church, which often becomes more of a full-time role. Even in his work here, he's got a lot of things that he's juggling. He's studying at ACOM. He's finishing off his degree in theology. Juggling that. He's working as a professional musician outside, doing concerts and everything. He has a day off, and he has built-in time to bless his family and to have time for his extended family and for his friends. Talk to him about it. If you're obviously in Darren's world, talk to him about it. It's not just my idea. John and myself and others have been through this with different ones on the staff, and Darren's one of those 5 or so years ago where we started looking at this. And I just couldn't believe when he said it saved my life. Because what it's done is it's actually giving him, he knows what's going on. He's able to say yes, he's able to say no. And life is okay for him. He's got a day off, and he sticks pretty tight to that. He has a Sabbath. Anyway, we can talk a lot more about that. Okay, just write down on the bottom of your sheet two things I want you to write down. One insight from tonight is, you have to write those words down, but I want you to write down an insight. What's an insight that's come to you? Because this is about you and God at this point. What's God saying to you? What are you realizing that needs to happen in your life? One insight that's hit you from tonight. And then one action plan. What's one thing that you're actually going to change because of what you've heard tonight? What's one thing that you're going to change? Just one. And next to that action point, write down the name of the person who you're going to tell about that. Okay? Because you want someone who's going to say, okay, you said you're going to do that, how are you going in it? Don't write down Roscoe, all right? Write down the name of someone who you know, you trust, who And you can say, listen, this is what I've realized I need to put in place. Or this is an area I've realized I need to move forward in. Or this is an area I realize I need counseling on. And you ask me the questions next week as to whether I've done something about it. Okay, so jot down the person's name. That's not for anyone else's benefit, that's for yours. If you want to explore this more with me, talk about it, or with Darren or John or anyone else that's actually might look like they know something about this, and we're all learning, I tell you that, we'd love to talk to you. Because it's crucial that we actually realize that this is important. It's not just a good idea. I find dates need to go in my diary. I need to put things in my diary. I remember when I did a self-care strategy for a year, when I first learned about this, and the assignment I had to do was to create a self-care strategy for, 2003 or 2002, whatever year it was, and I had to write it out, you know, the dates and everything, and I gave it to the guy who was actually taking us as a group doing this, and he wrote on it, "Dave, your self-care strategy exhausts me." He said, "You don't just write down all the good things you could do. You've got to actually put them into some sort of, where are they going to happen?" And I just thought, "Hey, I'll just write on all these possibilities." He said, no, you've got to put them into a schedule. Otherwise, they will just be a list of good things to do. Okay? So God bless you as you think through that. As I said, we'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love to pray for you at this point. Father, thanks so much for the fact that you love us heaps. Father, we need to more and more be told that. We need to believe that. It doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter how inadequate or incompetent we feel, or how bad we feel, you love us. You love us unconditionally. Father, I pray that we would live free knowing that. Father, I pray also that there's areas you've touched in our lives tonight. Maybe some red lights have gone off. Father, I pray that as we go out of here, that it might not just leave our mind, that we'll actually put some things in place that will protect us, that will cause us to be cared for. Father, help us to realize that we're the ones that are responsible for looking after ourselves. Father, I thank you that you do that. But help us to realize we've got to put some things in place to protect ourselves. Oh, Father, we pray this so that your kingdom can be extended. We want to live life to the full. We want to be healthy. We want to have energy to share the gospel, the good news of salvation with people around us. Father, I thank you so much that it doesn't all depend on me. It doesn't depend on each one of us. You're the one doing the work. Help us to more and more link in with what you're doing. Father, again, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, the one who lived and died in our place, and the one who lives within us if we're Christians, in the form of the Holy Spirit. Father, we want to live and work and play with all that energy that your Holy Spirit gives us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.